by Buffon. And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Lionel! Romelu Lukaku now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
It's a big day in the Champions League tomorrow. 8 matches, 16 teams. 9 teams have already advanced. We'll take a dive into who is on the bubble in the UEFA Champions League. If you're a fan of Cruz Azul in Liga MX, well, you're used to suffering. Last night, with a 4-0 lead coming into the second leg at Unam Pumas at the Olympic Stadium in Mexico City, the Cementeros cradled and in the process lost 4-0 and were eliminated. If you're a fan of Pumas, well, you may still be pinching yourselves today. MLS Western Conference final tonight with Seattle hosting Minnesota United, 8:30 Central Time. A bevy of great attackers. We're going to get into that tonight. We'll talk about that matchup as well. I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I'm sure, Austin FC supporter, you're sizing it up. You want to size up that competition for 2021 because you know it's right around the corner. You can taste it right now. In the blink of an eye, it is so close, it's going to be here. You can feel it. And the excitement you can see in Austin, you can feel it from the outside. It's percolating. It's bubbling. So many really cool off-the-field things happening as the run-up continues. Now, I imagine Austin Anthem and Los Verdes, La Murga, all these different supporters groups, you'll be tuning in tonight to see some high-end playmakers in action, like Nicolas Lodero of Seattle, Emmanuel Reynoso of Minnesota United, who are no doubt the underdogs coming into this one. Lying in wait, though, the Columbus Crew. And, of course, the Columbus Crew advancing. Deserved winners over the New England Revolution. They got a goal from Artur in that one. Beautiful layoff, by the way, from Jonathan Mensah, the center back, for Artur to finish. Fantastic, though. Type of goal to win that game. You know, you want a good goal to win a 1-0 game. Well, that's exactly what we got. And then the 183rd Manchester Derby is this weekend between United and City. And what a weekend for a trio of American goal scorers in Europe. Details of that tonight on the show, including a first-ever American goal scorer for Juventus. I'm Glenn Davis. Welcome into Soccer Matters. Behind the glass, producing in Austin, the one and only Sam Pica. As always, we stream at hornfm.com. That's where you can also find the podcasts of this show as well. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. We got to give a little plug here to our presenting sponsors because they get us on the air. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. You know, you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a construction site, you call the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710 is the number to call. 512-865-6710. By the way, they're bilingual. And by the way, they get soccer on the air both here in Austin, Texas, and in Houston, Texas. So if you ever want to dip into tomorrow night's show in Houston, you can always join us over there. It streams on the internet at ESPN975.com tomorrow night. There might be a little bit more Houston-centric talk around the Houston Dynamo with GM Matt Jordan being extended for a year. And it looks like Dynamo striker Mauro Minotas, a Colombian, is close to moving to Tijuana in Liga MX. So that's what's on tap there. All right, tonight we've got the legendary commentator. Yes, Andreas Cantor, the goal call. You know him for his days on David Letterman and growing the sport in this country. By the way, Andreas has been a commentator since 16 and a half. Moved from Argentina to Southern California. He's going to join me on the show tonight. And, you know, look, he's a standard bearer in my industry when it comes to soccer on television. Fortunate enough to have known him, met him many, many years back. And, of course, have been in adjoining booths next to him, you know, for games like at the Cotton Bowl when Mexico played the U.S. And I think on some of the tours of Real Madrid and Barcelona here in the United States. But he has done so much for growing the sport of soccer through both TV and radio. So we get Andreas's take tonight on the legendary Diego Maradona, who recently passed. We did a whole long show on it last week here in Austin. We did a two-hour show on it in Houston. You're going to love this interview tonight from Andreas Contour. So much going on in the world of football. We can take our pick tonight. Austin FC fans, again, I'm sure you're excited about seeing what additions are going to be made to the roster as we get closer to the expansion draft and the 2021 season. So that is right around the corner, as we have mentioned. Now, it is interesting, the excitement, the rumors. You know, Miguel Layún getting us all fired up with his appearance in Austin in recent times. Paul Aguilar has been mentioned. Of course, Hector Moreno has been linked with the club as well. So to think that this club, Austin FC, is linked to a Mexican national team player is wonderful. Now, back to Aguilar. He's 34. He's been a captain of Club America. That's no mean feat. He's played over 350 times for them, former Pachuca. His play, though, limited in Liguilla in the quarterfinals. Lost his place to a 22-year-old, Jorge Sanchez, but he would be the perfect fit from an experience standpoint. And you're going to need some experience to help move this team forward. And certainly Claudio Reyna, the Austin FC sporting director, knows about that. 55 caps for Mexico for Aguilar. That's nothing to sneeze at. Austin FC, again, seemed very interested in getting a Mexican international that could provide leadership and experience. And you know what? It's not going to hurt when it comes to the off-field draw in the state of Texas. Absolutely love this. And the fact that Austin FC is can push the boundaries. Let's face it, when it comes to MLS in Texas, and they haven't kicked the ball yet. Champions League. Now, we talked about that. Now, already through to the round of 16 are a number of teams. So let me give them to you. Group A, Bayern Munich. Group C, Manchester City and Porto have advanced. Group D, Liverpool has advanced. Group E, Chelsea and Sevilla have advanced. Group F, Dortmund and Gio Reyna, we'll talk more about him, have advanced. Group G, Barcelona has advanced, as well as Juventus. Now, let's go back to Group A. Atletico and RB Salzburg. Salzburg coached, of course, by Jesse Marsch, the former New York Red Bulls coach. Both those two teams could end up second to Bayern Munich and advance. Group D, Atalanta, who got four in the Champions League last year. You remember that, the Italian team. Well, they're still alive. And so is Ajax. Group E, Chelsea and Sevilla, I mentioned those two have come forward and they are advancing. Nobody else can advance out of that group. Group F is Dortmund. They've advanced. Lazio and Bruges are still alive and they will play each other in their final match day. Bruges has got to get a win, a draw, or a win for Lazio, and they advance. So much at stake in these games. Group G. We did mention Barcelona. By the way, Sergiño Dest, Conrad de la Fuente of Barcelona, and Weston McKennie of Juventus have already advanced to the round of 16. Group B tomorrow, though, is one to keep an eye on. It's going to be wild. All four teams on the final day can qualify. What an amazing weekend for us as American soccer fans. We got goals from Gio Reyna, Weston McKennie, and Christian Pulisic. Now think about this. For Dortmund, Juventus, and Chelsea, they're all young. They're all the future of our national team. Let's start with Gio Reyna, the son of Claudio Reyna, the sporting director for Austin FC. He gets his goal for Dortmund. Thing of beauty. Receives a ball at the top of the box. Frankfurt give him too much room to turn. Then an overcommitted defender kind of lunges in, and Gio Reyna, with a slashing cut to his right, just eliminates this guy like there's no tomorrow. Then his finish is squeezed in at the near post. Fantastic piece of skill. Remarkable to see how talented this young man is at only 18 years of age. Now, I know some were bagging on the goalkeeper of Frankfurt, but that finish jumped, and I mean jumped off the right foot of Gio Reyna. On to Weston McKennie. He gets the tying goal for Juventus. He's the first ever American player to score for the old lady. He does it after coming off the bench 6 minutes in. It's a tying goal against Torino. It's a derby. Juventus plays a short corner. It eventually comes back to Cuadrado, talented player in his own right. He delivers an amazing ball to attack. McKennie times it perfectly. Juventus would go on to win this 2-1. A 10th appearance for McKennie. He started five times. If you watch the goal that he scores, though, Weston McKennie, you'll see him move back about a yard, maybe a yard and a half, as Torino move out as the ball is passed back to Cuadrado. It's part of the reason you play short corners or knock it back, is to then pull a defense out. Well, as the defense is pulling out, McKennie backs up a little to keep himself onside. This subtle movement is so key. And then the ball's delivered. And, I mean, nobody can catch him. He's in behind, and he's got a clear header against the defense that is pushing out. Just tremendous awareness by the young talent, Weston McKennie. Love this guy. Christian Pulisic, Chelsea. We are getting a little worried about potentially being injury-prone. Not here. Breakout play from their own half of the field from Chelsea. Pretty spectacular. They've got youth. They've got speed. They've got pace. They got danger in behind defenses. They catch leads caught higher. Timo Werner gets put in behind the Leeds defense. Pulisic has to sprint, and time is run. Now, both these guys are taken off basically from the halfway line. Werner delivers a beautiful ball, and he links up with Pulisic. Pulisic times it perfectly, though. He doesn't get in there too early. He times it so at the moment this ball's delivered, he's nipping in behind the defender, meets the cross at the perfect moment. I just love that intersection of a ball and a player at the right time. It is so pleasing to watch. Pulisic, 13 goals, 10 assists now in 42 appearances for Chelsea. And they beat Marcelo Bielsa and Leeds 3-1. So huge win there. But this young talent, spectacular. All right, let's move on to the Seattle Sounders tonight and Minnesota United. It's the Western Conference Final. The winner is going to get the Columbus Crew. Now, this is an 8:30 start Central Time for us. It'll come from Lumen Field in Seattle. Artificial surface, two varying different teams. There's no question Seattle, cream of the crop here in the last couple of years with cups, both them and Toronto FC. Model of consistency. Been tremendous under Brian Schmetzer after taking over for Ziggy Schmidt. 12 years of making the playoffs. This is an organization that is in MLS to win cups, to be winners. And they're going to do what it takes to be winners. And that includes getting talented designated players. So think of their big three. They got a great trio of players that have been absolutely tearing it up. And this is one reason why you might say they are the favorites to win the cup. Nico Ladero, Raul Ruiz Diaz, and Jordan Morris. Morris playing spectacular right now. All three of these guys made the All-Star team, the best 11. In Major League Soccer. Nico Ladero is that playmaker. He is that playmaker that is just a constant man in motion. He always seems to be around the ball. He's around it in all different areas on the field. His work ethic is off the charts. You got Ruiz Diaz, who's a threat in behind defenses and just a scary, dangerous striker. And then you got Jordan Morris. Strength, power, all in one. Having remarkable years. Now, Minnesota United under Adrian Heath, they're going to counter with a trio of their own, Kevin Molino, Emmanuel Reynoso. Now, he debuted in a game that I was calling, and I knew right away just the silky smoothness of this guy, he was going to take it to another level. Kevin Molino's in form now. Reynoso is an assist machine, just very laid back, calm, tremendous on the ball, plays the game in a very effortless way. But one guy to keep an eye on, Robin Lud, call it what you want, a withdrawn forward, a false nine, whatever. He is a big piece of this thing because he just keeps things moving. And he just kind of plays underneath these two at times. But it's a great trio for Minnesota United as well. It's tonight. It is 8:30 Central Time. It's a game we're not going to want to miss tonight. And it's a game that'll pit a Western Conference champion tonight that essentially will then go on to play for the MLS Cup against the Columbus Crew. All right, stay with us on Soccer Matters here. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the legendary commentator, Andreas Kantor. This show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com is the number, is the place to find him on the website, DaspitLawAustin.com. Bilingual at 512-865-6710. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. We'll be back with more. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. A big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle. You may drive an 18-wheeler. You may work in construction. John and his firm are going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. You'll get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. 512-865-6710, the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. And a big thank you to John and his firm because they help get soccer on the radio. Reminder, you can get the podcast of this show always at hornfm.com. All right, our next guest really does not need any introduction. Colleague, he is famous for the goal call. He is Andreas Kantor, an Argentine-American sportscaster. Actually got into it at 16 and a half years old. Has had a long career. He is the award winner of the Colin Jose Award this year. And Andreas has called World Cups, Olympics. Also his ownership and play-by-play announcer on Football de Primera, which is a radio network in Spanish language. Here's my interview with Andreas Kantor. Andreas, as an Argentine and somebody that has met Maradona so many times and has interviewed him, what does it mean to the Argentine now upon the passing of Diego Armando Maradona?
I think, Glenn, the world of football lost, obviously, the greatest player to many of all time. But for us Argentinians, we lost more than that. You know, he was a superhero to all Argentinians, whether, you know, you agreed with him on all the extra football stuff that was very controversial around his life or not. We all remembered him fondly for what he did on the pitch. You have to understand that this was a superhero that was very reachable to the masses. I mean, he even gave his home address for people to go watch him out of the balcony. He was in touch with many, many people that needed his help. He was the voice of the poor. He was a very, like I said, a very accessible world superstar. On top of that, you know, he beat England, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but obviously scoring the two more, one of the most controversial goals in World Cup history and the most beautiful goal in World Cup history. And both have a special meaning to Argentines. Why? Because that game was fueled by what had happened 4 years early with the Falkland Island War. Don't get me wrong, it was the stupidest war that all Argentines were sent to, but then England came over and almost just, you know, threw Argentina off the map. And then it was like the first goal. I mean, I don't think there is one Argentine that will take pride in the way he scored the goal with his hand. But then it was like some type of revenge for what had happened with England in the Falkland Islands War. And then the second goal, obviously, is like the culmination of his craft. It was just pretty much incredible. So you know, his death is, it's a great loss for Argentina. And he was already, for Argentinians, he was already a myth. And now, you know, he's a myth, legend. I mean, you just add on, tack on all the adjectives and all the words that, that you can or want to Diego's, as we remember him now.
We're talking to the legendary commentator, Andreas Cantor, about Diego Maradona. You know, those two goals so indelibly etched in the minds of people, and in, as you mentioned, in the history of the World Cup, in some ways, did they kind of reflect his life? On one hand, they're calling him a bit of a cheat and cunning, and on the other hand, it's just a sheer artistic brilliance.
Yeah, I don't think he was a cheat in life. He never used drugs to enhance his performances. He, it was very, very clear, and he said it many times, and I believe that that was the case, that if he wouldn't have used cocaine for personal use, he would have been a much better player than he was, incredibly. He said that in many, many interviews, and I strongly believe that. There was no one instance where he took advantage. I mean, you know, we all know that cocaine doesn't enhance any athlete's performance, to the contrary. And then in 1994, he got booted out of the World Cup for ephedrine, which you and I probably have taken many
nasal,
times in,
nasal
in supplements. Yeah, exactly. You know, we have, I mean, I probably, with all the afrin that I've taken, you know, to clear my sinuses, I probably wouldn't have passed that drug test in 1994 either. So in any case, I think just the second goal illustrates, and it's just, that is, if you have to choose one goal out of all the one that he has scored, or all the plays that he had, great plays throughout his career, obviously the goal, the second goal against England would be it.
Andreas Cantor joining us here, and excited to have him on the program here tonight. This is a great listen here. We're talking about Diego Maradona. Of course, you know Andreas from Telemundo, Football de Primera. Let's just go into how he has been deified. I mean, I've watched all the documentaries. I don't know how a man could live a life like this, honestly, because the amount of pressure, I mean, physically people coming up to him when he walks out of his house and making physical contact. How he has been deified. Is there any accountability for us as humans when it comes to this man's life?
You know, fame comes with a price, I guess, and he was the most famous person in the planet. I have no doubt during his playing days and his best days. In rewatching many interviews that he did, I came upon one from 9 years ago where they asked him, do you remember how many interviews have you given in your life? And he says, no, I cannot. I mean, hundreds of thousands. So they asked him, do you remember when it was the first interview that you did? And he said, at around 13 years old, I'm quoting him, he said, at 13 years old, the press started putting the ice cream cone, as the metaphor for the microphone, in front of my face. And from that day on, I lived every day of my life with cameras and microphones in front of my face everywhere I went. So you can, you know, understand what this man's life or lack of a normal life was when he was in his best playing days, or just his playing days. So, you know, I don't know what part the press we all have, but, you know, he was the most thought after athlete worldwide. I know he, you know, we can talk about Magic, Michael Jordan, them too, you know, but mostly here in the US, you have to understand that if you went to every corner of the world, I know it's perhaps, I mean, maybe for people that listen to your show, no, but for other sports enthusiast, you have to understand that if you went, you know, 30 years ago to any corner of the world and you said Michael Jordan, people perhaps didn't know who he was, but you said Diego Maradona and they started talking, you know, 20 minutes with you about all his goals and his plays and Argentina and Napoli and this and that.
Talking to the great Andreas Cantor, let's go to the footballing side of it now, because I mean, even in that England quarterfinal, I'm watching that and he's just on another stratosphere than everybody on that field, including Glenn Hoddle of England, who was supposed to be their most technical player. His teammate Jorge Valdano once said, quote, "The football was the toy of his life." Who compares to him when it comes with the football being a part of somebody? That to me, just the way his body is relaxed, even if you just go and juggle a soccer ball, I never saw a guy, maybe Cruyff, maybe Pelé, that just seemed at one with a football.
Yeah, he was something else. I don't think it's good to enter into comparing him to anybody else. He was just, you know, a genius all by himself, as, you know, Pelé was in his time and Johan was in his, and Messi is now. All I have to add, because, you know, we live in a world where kids grew up watching football soccer games on their cell phones, and they're watching today's VAR soccer, that Maradona played in an era where soccer was very different. You know, they allowed much more physicality in the rules. He was butchered game in, game out. He was hit left and right, and he always had that enormous capacity to get up and just keep playing. Furthermore, he played, you know how today, I mean, I think there is such, I think the FIFA EA games is so popular because it resembles to the kids, it resembles the game they see on TV, you know, very nice manicured pitch, very fast moving ball. The players are even, I mean, I don't know if the electronic game resembles the players or the players resemble the electronic games. Diego played in an era where, you know, the fields of play were not that good and controlling the ball was like almost impossible. Gary Lineker, in remembering his death the other day, said Estadio Azteca in that game against England had patches of grass where you set foot on one patch and then you had to step on the other one and it was so uneven and this was the only guy that could control the ball. And if you see carefully, the second goal, you know, the 60-meter dash to the goal, the ball looks like a rabbit. It's not, I mean, even though he had it almost glued to his feet, I mean, if you watch today's, you know, any Champions League game or any game what anywhere around the world, the pitches are more playable and it makes it easier for the players to control the football. And that was Maradona. Maradona played in that time, so that is why I think he was just the greatest of all time.
So that's part one with Andreas Cantor on Diego Maradona. Some incredibly interesting stuff there, and we got more to come here coming up in this next segment. And again, the next segment will be brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710, 512-865-6710. Stay with us. More on Diego Maradona from the legendary commentator, Andreas Cantor. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors here on the Horn in Austin, Texas for Soccer Matters. As we welcome you back, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com. 512-865-6710. They are the presenting sponsors of this show, and a big thank you to them. Hey, tomorrow, by the way, Champions League schedule like this. Lazio, Bruges, Zenit, St. Petersburg, Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, Juventus, Chelsea, Krasnodar, Dynamo Kiev, and Ferencváros.
Paris Saint-Germain, Istanbul, Red Bull Leipzig, and Manchester United. That's a big one. By the way, Paul Pogba's agent came out, Mino Raiola, and said that Pogba needs a new club. He's not free to express himself at Manchester United. So that's the latest news on Pogba. And that comes at a very awkward time ahead of a very, very crucial Champions League match for Manchester United. RB Leipzig, Tyler Adams and company there. Rennes and Sevilla. All right, let's go to part two now with the legendary commentator Andreas Kantor as we continue our discussion on the late Diego Maradona.
He's Andreas Kantor. He's one of the greatest of all time behind the microphone when it comes to the global game of soccer. You've interviewed him and been around him. You mentioned to me before the interview about 10 times. Tell me something maybe that came out of those meetings with him that the general public might not know about him.
Well, I met him the first time in Los Angeles when he came with a youth national team that was on the way to Japan to win the Youth World Cup. I always tell the story. I was already working for a Gráfico magazine, which was like the Sports Illustrated of the time.
Well, you know something? I couldn't read or understand Spanish, but the cover of that magazine was always unbelievable.
Yeah. It was like the soccer Bible to all Latin American journalism and to all Latin American soccer fans. And I had the idea, because I had covered many boxing fights in Vegas. I was 17. I believe I was still in high school, perhaps in my first year at USC, but I can't remember. I would have to look at the calendar. I had the idea of getting him together with Muhammad Ali that lived in LA. I had a contact of him through all the times I went to Vegas to cover fights. And we got to his home because, obviously, of what we just discussed, I picked him up in the hotel. There was lots of press, even though it was Los Angeles in the late 70s. And, you know, he got out of the elevator and boom, he couldn't move. And we got to Muhammad Ali's home like 15 minutes late and he was gone. And I missed, you know, talking about the cover. That was going to be the cover of a graphical magazine for sure. And I remember his face. You know, he was 18, I believe. And I was 16 and a half because, he's almost 2 years and 2 months older than I am. And I remember his face. I will never forget. It was, you know, the kid that just lost his favorite toy. And he was, you know, bummed. And then in all the times, I mean, I met him as a youth player. I was fortunate enough to be with him both times he won the Scudetto in Napoli. I was there. I was there in the celebration party. I was there in Argentina, in Mexico, when Argentina won the World Cup. And now, retrospectively, because, you know, you live through things that you don't realize until, you know, you take a look back in life. He was the world's superstar. And he was the most humble human being, even though in the peak of stardom, even though he had put Naples in the map of Italy with his soccer, even though he had won the World Cup away in Mexico for Argentina after scoring, you know, all five goals. I mean, the Belgian goals were awesome. And he was just, all I can tell you from all the encounters I had with him, that he was the most simple, human, relatable human being that there could be.
How long will the nostalgia go on for him? I mean, he's going to live eternally. I mean, that's what Argentines say. You know, 30, 40 years from now, will people be still talking about the great Diego Maradona?
I believe so. I believe that there will be a reference point like there is always, you know, in every sport about the great athletes of their time. Obviously, there will be always be a reference to Diego. You know, the passing of the torch, I don't know. We will see if, you know, Messi can come up in his last hurrah in Qatar if Argentina makes it and win the World Cup. But undoubtedly, I think things will change once the generation, my generation, this sounds awful what I'm going to say, but once my generation is gone, the generations that live after us will only have the reference of him in the YouTube videos. And anything that, I mean, let's say my son, who is 27, you know, he didn't see him play. He was born in 1993. But yet he has, you know, an adoration for him and him being in soccer and in broadcasting as well. He fully understands who he was. But, I mean, he can only relate to what he meant through me. So I'm not sure that, you know, he will be able to pass those feelings to his sons, because it's something that, you know, he inherited from me without him being part of it. I was part of Maradona's life in soccer, and I was able to tell him what I saw, what he meant for the game, what he meant for Argentina. And then, you know, there's the support of the YouTube videos that everyone can watch. But then when, you know, my generation is long gone, you know, he will be remembered just simply as the greatest footballer or one of the greatest footballers. But undoubtedly, he has left a mark in the football world.
I take you back to the line between the on-field football, which was utter artistry, brilliance. We've talked about that. We all know that. All we have to do is look. But then you get across that line into the personal life and all that. Is that side of it kind of pushed aside maybe by a lot of Argentines? They don't want to really think about that. They just focus on what he did football-wise and how he put Argentina on the map with the 86 World Cup. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the success at Napoli.
I think what he did for Argentina as our captain, as our greatest player, as our myth and legend, was stronger than whatever he thought, said, and did in his personal life. Not everyone, and I will be the first one to tell you that I probably agree with very little of the things that he did and the way he, you know, he approached different causes that he thought were just, and I wasn't fully a friend of his friends, metaphorically, obviously. I don't know Fidel Castro and I don't know Maduro. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But at the end, who are we to judge? I mean, you know, this is like the great divide here in our last election. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but, you know, we grew up in this country with respect for each other's point of view and political views. And am I going to be less friendly to you because you voted for candidate A and I voted for candidate B? No. I respect your opinion. I don't share it. I seldomly shared many of his latest opinions in life. And I think that is a reflection. I cannot generalize because there were lots of Argentinians very hurt by some of his actions. All I can say is that he was an indomitable lion, really. And all I can say is that if, you know, the people that surrounded him would have really helped him, he would be alive today. But he was like very, very hard to tame. You know, he didn't seek advice. He didn't accept advice. It was tough. So, you know, whatever he did with his personal life, as a human being, and whatever beliefs he had that were contrary to mine, you know, so be it. They were his. I don't share in them, but, you know, I remember Diego, the player, and respect the man for being so strong about his beliefs, whether I like them or not.
He was a problem solver on the soccer field. We know that. He was the indomitable lion you just mentioned. I wonder why that couldn't translate into life when seeking out help for some of the other problems, because it always seems from what I've read that he was determined to solve problems himself and not with the help of others.
Right. I think it's you know, he said it in one of the many interviews. I mean, nobody knows what it is to be in the life of Diego Maradona. And I cannot imagine, you know, your listeners have to understand that it was a different era as well in terms of the approach of the world's megastar. I mean, all we have to do is watch the Jordan documentary, you know, the Last Dance. When I think NBA still is even more flex than soccer, where, you know, you could go inside the locker room and see the Michael Jordan naked getting out of the shower and then, boom, you throw the microphones at him. I don't know if that happens today. Certainly it doesn't happen in FIFA, in the World Cups, or in any other game. You cannot go inside. I mean, here in the MLS, I think you can, but in the rest of the world, you can't go inside the locker room. Superstars are much more protected, and Diego wasn't. Diego, like, you know, he said that in that interview, since he was 13 or 14, he had press all around him, and he couldn't go out, you know, for a walk in Buenos Aires, in Barcelona, in Naples. The only place where he could probably go out for a walk without, you know, being swamped was here in the U.S., where he came, you know, at a very early age and then never returned. So I don't know what, you know, type of life that is. So I think he, you know, he wanted to manage it, his life the way he thought, you know, he could manage it, and unfortunately did not listen to the people that wanted good for him and that wanted him to do things that he didn't want to do. And like I said, you know, he was very, very hard to tame and did things his own way.
Andreas, all I can say is thank you very much for coming on. I know these are a lot of personal moments for you and Argentines now, and of course the world of soccer. To all of us, I think we feel very kind of gray and dark now that we've lost such an icon that we have enjoyed watching play this game in a way that we've never seen before. Thank you very much for coming on. I also want to congratulate you, because I want my listeners to know that you're going to come back on. We're going to talk broadcasting and your career more in depth. But I want to congratulate you for the Colin Jose Award, which is given here in the United States to people that have just committed so much to journalism and sport and what you've done for the sport of soccer in this country. I think you have to understand it's more than just calling games. You've helped grow the game in this country. And I think a lot of people like myself on the outside obviously recognize that.
Thank you, Glenn. You're very generous. I mean, it caught me off guard, and they surprised me with the announcement on air, just to be in the National Hall of Fame in this country that I love so much. And after so many years of fighting and still fighting to position the game in the place it deserves, it's just an absolute honor. And thank you for your kind words. And anytime you want to talk about anything in the world of soccer, you have a friend.